It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast, available, of course, every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple, even on a Monday, of course. Not that you might want to sort of turn up to work today. Yes, the weekend is gone. The dreaded Monday is back. And probably or arguably the busiest day of the week for real estate agents as they chase up on weekend activity. And there was plenty of that activity on show right around Australia at the weekend. Auctions, boy, they're getting very feverish. And it's March the 25th today. Many of us still probably think back to Christmas New Year period as not being that long ago. But next Monday will be the 1st of April, if you can believe that. Well, we're headed to Sydney this morning in the sought-after inner Sydney suburbs like Paddington and Darlinghurst. Home buyers are shelling out over $20,000 for just one square metre of land. Domain tells us that the proximity to the CBD is driving the trend despite the smaller block sizes. And then on the other side of the coin, regions like the Blue Mountains offer larger plots for less than $1,000 per square metre. And we are talking to Stuart Jones from Jones Property this morning. And good morning, Stuart. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
Good morning, Craig. Great to be here.
Boy, isn't that two sides of the coin? You know, we're talking $20,000 for one square metre of land, and then on the other side, $1,000 per square metre. It's a huge difference, but people seem to be, you know, more than often prepared to pay out for living in these areas like Paddington and Darlinghurst. So what are you seeing?
In Double Bay, for example, the record apartment price per square metre is over $100,000, and apartments in Potts Point, Elizabeth Bay at the moment, over 230 square metres, are selling for, you know, north of $70,000 a square metre. Areas like Paddington and Darlinghurst are highly desirable because of their location to the city and the schools. School catchments are a really big driver, so we're living busier lives. And so if you have land in the Blue Mountains, for example, you've got lawns to tend to and you've got a great distance from the city. But of course, in Paddington, you generally have hard landscape services, you know, one or two parking off the street, three or four bedrooms for the family, very lock and leave. Kids can get to school easily, and often, you know, parents can go to work. So, you know, you look at the demographics of the people that live in those areas, and in Paddington, you have a lot of doctors, you know, a lot of people working in banking and law, and they work in the city. And so being close to home is good after long days, easy for the kids to get back there, and on the weekends, they can access the local amenity with comforts. So there's lots of different drivers.
So tell us a little bit about the scarcity of land and the appeal of this livability that you're talking about, the effect that property prices in Sydney, particularly in these prime locations, are playing. So, you know, it's got that driver effect, prices going up.
Yeah, it does. You know, look, I think in anything, scarcity drives value. You know, the rarer it is, the more valuable it is. You know, when you look at the top end of the market in Bellevue Hill, Vaucluse, Woollahra, you know, land sizes 800 square metres or more, you know, big views, big substantial homes, not a lot of those are coming on the market each year. So consequently, they're driving prices up. And in your city fringe markets like Woollahra, Paddington, you know, Darlinghurst, Potts Point, Elizabeth Bay, you know, it's really convenience. And you've got a lot of empty nesters driving those markets. So Potts Point, Elizabeth Bay, empty nesters driving the prices up in those markets. There's a lot more empty nesters. I mean, I think they're still the fastest growing population in Australia. So people are empty nesting, or they're over 65 is growing faster than the birthing population. So these people have been in homes for 20 years. They want to move into a retirement phase. They want something that's lock and leave. They sell a home for $10 million. They generally take 70% of that sale into their next home. So they look for a $7, $8 million apartment in Potts Point. And there's only a few of those. And you've got 10 trying to buy a few. they're going to drive up the prices to secure those properties, similarly in Paddington and Woollahra. And particularly when you look at the average might be circa $21,000 in Paddington, but if you want to be on Paddington Street or Windsor Street and you want to be on the preferred side, which is North Tarere, so they're the two best streets in Paddington, you are going to be paying upwards of $40,000 a square metre to live on those properties.
Wow, yeah. It is serious money. All right, we're talking with Stuart Jones and we'll come back. We'll talk more property from Sydney after this.
Every morning from 6 a.m, we bring you the latest real estate news with diverse perspectives from leading industry experts. We deliver the most property podcasts across Australia every week.
And right now it is time for another 30-second property tip. Let's go to Flemington there in Melbourne and catch up with Jason Watts. Good morning, Jason. What have you got for us this morning?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. So a quick property tip. It's not about how long the property's been on the market. It's about how long the buyer has been in the market. Particularly with vendors, some vendors we're dealing with at the moment, we're getting some really strong activity within the first 7 to 10 days of the marketing campaign. Some vendors are thinking that that strong offer is going to be easily repeatable as we progress towards auction. What we're finding in a lot of instances, that buyer is the best buyer, and often they see something else because they've had a rush of blood. They've been bridesmaids before. So they have a rush of blood on that property. If the vendor doesn't want to do a transaction, they go elsewhere and purchase something else, and we're chasing that offer. And sometimes, sadly, we're selling for less. So often the best buyers we're seeing in the first 7 and 10 days of a marketing campaign. So definitely keep that in mind.
Yeah, it is just so psychological when a buyer comes along and quickly makes that offer, which can lead to that false sense of security that you're talking about. And I've actually seen that one step further where there was a fixed price and the vendor withdrew the price and then increased it because they thought that it was set too low. So a very good comment, Jason, to bring up this morning. Now, you might be in Brisbane this morning waiting to catch a flight home after the Australian Grand Prix. And yesterday, bit of a boil over, wasn't it? Ferrari's Carlos Sainz came out victorious, seizing the top spot after Max Verstappen's retirement due to those rear brake issues. Charles Leclerc, yes, a 1-2 finish secured second place, and then followed by the McLarens with Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri in third and fourth place. Remarkably, though, Sainz clinched the win just 16 days after undergoing an appendix removal. So the appendix, oddly, were a good luck charm.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
And it is a Real Estate Monday. Yes, the grind of starting a brand new week. And we are talking to Stuart Jones from Jones Property this morning. And I've got to ask you, Stuart, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking to Veronica, and since you're a buyer's agent, I have to ask, have you noticed some of these new entrants as buyer's agents coming into the market that might not be as fully qualified as Veronica was telling us 2 weeks ago?
Well, I think as with anything, you've got to qualify. You know, a lawyer's qualified because he's got a degree, and similarly with a doctor. Just because I've got a license doesn't mean I'm qualified. How does a buyer feel more confident that the buyer's agent that they're working with has the skill set? I think access to off-market's not enough. I think, you know, connections is not enough. I think those things are important, but what's just as important or perhaps more important is A, the ability to appraise the value of a property that you want to purchase, and B, have transactional expertise, transactional fitness. You're not going to run a marathon in your first jog. You're going to break it into 5, 10, and 22 and 42K spurts. Similarly, in what we do, experience over time makes you better at what you do and offering better value to your clients. And I think one important component, which is overlooked, you know, looking at square meter rates. Square meter rates are important when assessing a value of a property because that's how valuers value. Developers build square meter rates, they sell on a square meter rate, and they derive a price point which the consumer buys. So if you reverse engineer that principle on an established property, you still need to consider that when a valuer goes into a property, they look at that property in two components, the land component component and the dwelling component. Every valuation has a replacement cost on the building on that property. How do they derive that? Through square meter rates. So whilst we buy on a price point, square meter rates help ensure that you're not overpaying on an asset. So if the median or an average on a street or a suburb is 15,000 a square meter and a property is positioned at 18,000 a square meter and all its comparables are 15,000, why are you paying 30% more for that property? What makes that more special?
Yes, because comparables are one of the critical factors to working out price points and knowing how to stitch all of that up. And I want to come back to what you mentioned. You said transactional fitness, and that is a great description for somebody looking to engage in a buyer's agent, trying to work out if they've got it, because they either have it or they don't. And it's all in that due diligence that you are undertaking at the time of working out who is going to be your buyer's agent. And with that in mind, what about you, Stuart? What discipline do you apply to making this all stack up for buyers with your many years of experience in the game of being a buyer's agent?
So a discipline that I've been using for the last 19 years is applying square meter rates to assess a value when compared to a price point and when compared to properties on a like-for-like. So I think property buyers, agents should be applying discipline similar to that, not just spitting out a report from CoreLogic or PriceFinder to derive the value of a property for the client. That's not doing the work. We get paid very well for what we do. We need to be able to vindicate our value by making our clients an informed purchaser, not making the decision for them. But if you don't have the right information, you can't make the right decision. And then on the basis of the right information, you can form a point of view. You can set a parameter on a property that you'd like to buy. And then I go in and do what I do best, and that is execute.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there, Stuart. Thanks for your input and some of those comments around some of these new entrants into property buying. And thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate the time.
Every week, unravel the real estate market to empower your real estate knowledge.
Everyone that comes into Endeavour Hills will always find it very funny that once you move in, you tend to never move out, because the fact that it's got curved tree line, established trees in the streets, and they're wide streets so you can park in them, and these sort of things just give it a little bit of personality, which people really enjoy.
Yes. So some places that I went to had that sort of energy around it, and I didn't feel like I was going to fit in there, because my kids and I still get rowdy. We play loud music. We've got lots of dogs. We have food. We're outdoors. We're noisy.
As you come a little bit down the coast, Aldinga Beach is a suburb of almost 4,000 homes. So you'll have a lot of variety and a lot of options, from the big blocks and the older homes right through to brand new homes on smaller allotments.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.